Yeah, good to see you guys. And again, this is just an excellent opportunity to check in with one of our ministry partners at Peace, and that is Philomath Community Services. And we have the new executive director with us, Kate Sundstrom. And she's been at Philomath Community Services for a couple months, I believe. And so we're just going to check in with you. Rick's going to be doing the interview. He is our elder at Peace, and then we will let you go. We won't put you on the hot seat too long. It's really comfortable. And then we'll have just a time of devotion and prayer and close out our time tonight. So, Rick, let's hand it over to you.
Okay, well, welcome, Kate. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to start out by we're going to get to know Kate a little bit. I'm going to read a short bio that I have here, and then we'll get to asking a few questions of Kate about the specific ministry. So Kate Sundstrom has lived in Corvallis for more than 3 decades, other than a few years in Surprise, Arizona, and Austin, Texas. She recently returned to Oregon after spending 2 years with the American Red Cross as regional philanthropic officer. She is now Philomath Community Services' first ever full-time executive director and began on January 4th. Wow, that's not very long ago. This year, Sundstrom is excited to be part of the Philomath community, helping others. It's always been her passion to help those in need. She is well connected to the Benton County communities, where she spent 25 years working for Samaritan Health. The first 10 years as a medical transcriptionist, and later as major gifts officer slash events manager for Good Samaritan Hospital Foundation. Her responsibilities included expansion of the emergency department and creation of the Ralph Hull Regional Heart Center. Ralph Hull, sorry. Ralph Hull, thanks. Additionally, Kate spearheaded the development and implementation of the adolescent mental health program, working closely with community members and Samaritan Health Services administrators. Kate led the charge for Women's Giving Circle and a Grateful Patient program. She managed system-wide events, 5 hospitals in 3 counties, including but not limited to a large-scale gala and many more fundraising events. Sundstrom is past president of Kiwanis and Rotary After Five of Corvallis. She has served on boards of directors for United Way of Benton County, Boys and Girls Club of Corvallis, and the Center Against Rape and Domestic Violence. Sundstrom is a graduate of Leadership Corvallis. She obtained a Bachelor of Arts in Human Studies and Master's in Business Administration within the past 15 years while working full-time. Kate's son Eric and his wife Jennifer are expecting their first child any day, or is it still any day, or has that already happened?
I am now a grandma.
Oh, yeah. Eric is a financial advisor with Edward Jones, and Jennifer is a major in the Army, who will be retiring this summer after 20 years of leadership and service. Her hobbies include golfing, hiking, wine tasting, and traveling. We have a few members who might agree with those hobbies as well. So let's go ahead. Greetings, Sarah, first of all. Let's start with providing our folks with a brief introduction by sharing with us the mission of Philomath Community Services. And just for those of you that are on the call and others of you that listen, we are community partners with Philomath Community Services, one of our mission partners as well. Go right ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're great. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this time and appreciate your partnership with us. I know you support us in many ways, financially as well as volunteerism. So thank you so much. And maybe at the end, we can talk about some volunteer opportunities for y'all. So, yeah. So essentially, our mission here at PCS, as we refer to it, the Philomath Community Services, is to provide a variety of social services to meet the needs of Philomath and Western Benton County citizens to ensure that they receive the the basic necessities of life. You know, sometimes we just take it for granted that, you know, people need food or clothing, you know, things of that nature. So for nearly 30 years, which actually this year marks our 30th year in business, it has been 100% volunteer-based, and that was up until they hired me, as reported by Rick. You know, we can't thank our volunteers enough, and they've got this well machine, you know, well-greased machine going, thanks to the volunteers, as well as the community partners and donors. So they hired me to essentially kind of, I like to say, clear the house or get it in order, right? So implement some new structure and new policies and procedures just to make sure that, you know, we're just more effective and efficient, right? So PCS actually hosts 5 programs. So that would include our Philomath Food Bank, June's Kids Closet, Philomath Gleaners, Luby's Community Garden, and then there's a seasonal one called Holiday Cheer. All of these programs provide the basic necessities of food and clothing to individuals and families, like mentioned. And then in December, that's when the Holiday Cheer takes place, where we give children an opportunity to have a little bit of joy in their life and provide them with toys and educational materials. And this is made possible through the generous support of our community. So last year, we helped over 160 children, and we had 85 sponsors, and I believe the total was around $15,000 total that these 85 sponsors had supported us with.
That's fantastic. So could you describe the challenges? And you've been here since January, but I'm sure you're aware that's faced by PCS during the past year or so of our pandemic.
Absolutely. So while when the pandemic was declared that people needed to work from home, I was actually still working in Austin, Texas with the Red Cross. So I believe it was March 13th that that was declared. And so in the meantime, there were a number of developments that had occurred that brought me back up here, including my family. But the challenges PCS faced, just like many businesses, was, you know, shifting the way they do business. So during that health pandemic, what do, right, to serve the clients and meet the needs of those individuals? We had to essentially close the doors for just a short time, but the board of directors and the program managers really entertained the idea of how do we continue to meet the needs of our clients. And they quickly shifted to a limited contact model based on the CDC guidelines. So, for example, the food bank had an in-person shopping where our clients could come in and peruse the shelves and things of that nature. And so we adapted a different model where we used our volunteers and they made up the boxes of food. So again, it limited the contact with individuals. And then of course we followed the guidelines in terms of asking the clients the questions, have you traveled, have you been exposed and things of that nature. And then more recently, PCS did install a new HVAC system, so that helped advance the airflow as well. So they've adapted very nicely.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So what have you done, particularly through this period of time? One of the things that's the asset of PCS is the connection with the community, not only with the donor side, the provider side, but also with those in need. And so how have you maintained those close contacts during this challenging time?
Sure. So in terms of keeping in touch with the community, we try to advance our communications through social media and letters. But as you know, some of our clients might not have access to the social media. But right now we've reestablished our PR and marketing, and we're working toward, you know, making sure that we have the channels of communication in every outlet there is possible. In terms of reaching out and making connections, since January 4th, I've made some good headway in meeting our city officials, like our Philomath response teams, the fire chief, the chief of police, Chamber of Commerce, Rotary, and also the Lynn Benton Food Share, which is a major partner of us, obviously. They're the ones that actually house, or I should say, gleaners are under the auspices of Lynn Benton Food Share, but yet they're under our umbrella here at this facility. In fact, that gleaner group, the Philomath Community Gleaners, is the only one that has the luxury of being under a facility like ours. You know, many work in adverse conditions, so we're very, they're very fortunate, and they are very grateful for that. So, as I mentioned, we are revitalizing our marketing, and we're including a lot of our community at large members to help us increase the awareness of what we offer here. So we'd love to be able to reach out and perhaps add some flyers into our churches and other areas so we could talk offline about that as well.
Excellent. So many of our the folks that might be watching or tuning into this and watching it later, can you describe for us how many people you actually serve on a regular basis? Number one, and then number two, this is a two-parter off script. Remember, we promised that. Describe the average person you serve for us.
So we serve, I would say, hundreds. I actually have access to an annual report, which I would love to share with you. So I've got both your email, Rick and Jeremy, and I will absolutely do that. So
that would be
it's
great.
Broken out into the clients served, the number of volunteers that we have, the volunteer hours, the in-kind donations, grants that we have received, and cash donations. So I'd be happy to supply that for you. I'd do a disservice if I would rattle off some numbers and then be wrong. It wouldn't be nice. So second part was...
Oh yeah, just describe the average person. You've been in contact with them, I'm sure, yourself personally. And what is that person? Who is that person that you're serving on a regular basis?
That's a great question. You know, most of our clients have met some challenges, whether it's housing, whether it's being without a job, whether it was because of the COVID or prior to that. So a number of our demographics include people who make a lot less than what we might, you know, think. But we serve a great number of people in that poverty level, if you will. But one of the things that we do not do is ask to confirm when people come and they're hungry. We will absolutely not turn anyone down. So that's always a good thing, right? You know, we are humanitarians, and that's our mission, is to provide, you know, the basic necessities of life so that they can be assured of having some warm clothing and so on and so on. So,
okay, well, excellent. Thank you.
Yeah.
So I have one more, and you've done great. Thanks so much. The other question is, how can we help? If we're just watching, one of our members just watching, tell us how we can help.
Oh, absolutely. So essentially, just like every nonprofit, we rely on contributions, financial or time. And so I know a number of you in the worship have helped us volunteer with certain projects. And that's always something that we could use help with, as well as you've been instrumental in making contributions to us financially to help offset those, you know, the budget. So I created a wish list, if you will, of things that we might need. And I actually did this twofold to share with you today in case you might have some need to help out in these areas, as well as in a spring, what we call it, a spring acquisition letter. So that'll go out to our donors, you know, and then we'll share what we've done, and then our wish list will be included in that in case they'd like to participate financially. So June's Kids Closet, which used to be called the Baby Bank when we first were established back in, I think, the 70s, they are, of course, cautious when we bring in the donations or receive the donations. What they do is actually wash every single garment that comes in, and then we weigh it. And that's how we record to the Department of Justice and all the other reporting entities on what we're doing and how good of a job we're doing and where our gaps are. So they wash these here, but the washer and dryer kind of has its, you know, capacity and its limitation, just like we all do, right? We start breaking down. And so we're looking to invest into a washer and dryer that is more of a commercial grade,
right,
quality. So those, as you know, don't come cheap. And that financial investment is a total of around $2,000 to $2,500. So that's a financial contribution that perhaps we can help out with, as well as there's garment racks to hang all of our clothing and so on. And those come with a price of about $100. Now, in terms of the garden, we're now amping up for cultivation, planting spring starts. Yeah. And we can always use help with weeding and tilling and spreading chips and all of that type of stuff. So if y'all are inclined to working outside, it's a great opportunity. And we have a wonderful program manager for that. All of our program managers are absolutely incredible. But those are some of the things. Lastly, we had just finally hooked up the walk-in cooler outside, which was donated from a local entrepreneur here. And so to protect that, we need to erect a cover, and it has to be sturdy from the elements and so on. So we're really looking at finding someone who has that bandwidth and skill set to help us with that. And then lastly, I like to joke about it, but we kind of have a rooftop garden. So what I mean is there's things growing out of the gutter. And they're about 30 feet tall. Now, of course, I would do that, but I don't have an extension ladder. So we're looking to see if anyone has an extension ladder that's about 30, 40 feet, and to help clean the gutters as well as power wash the awning. That would be absolutely wonderful help. So.
Well, you just put it out here, so who knows what might happen.
That's right. So,
Kate, is this something you regularly would put out, like in an email to your donor base? Could we be, is Pastor already on that, or could we make sure that maybe Pastor and I are both on that email chain as it
comes
up?
That would be great. Yeah, that's really good to know that you'd like to receive that information and be very helpful to us as you pass on the communication to those who might be interested in serving.
Mm-hmm. Right. And as you know, we do have some members that regularly do help in a volunteer way, yeah, as well as our financial support.
Right.
But we are also getting questions from people about this avenue for helping out as well. So just the more information that we could get, the better.
Very good. Thank you so much.
You bet. Now, before we need to wrap, but is there anything that you'd like to add before we conclude our call?
I just really appreciate all that you do and for thinking of us all the time. And I know there's a long history there. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for everything that you do in support of us. And please stay well and embrace your families and loved ones, you know, because you never know.
Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us. And we really appreciate what you bring to the community, and welcome back to the community, I should say. It's not like you're a newbie, but thank you so much for being here.
Thank you very much. You take care.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Pastor, back to you.
Yeah, well, that was great. And we have a long history of supporting PCS. The ladies used to volunteer doing clothes there. I don't know when that stopped happening. Maybe it was a couple of years ago or so.
Are you talking about June's kid?
Yeah, June's kid's closet. How long ago was that? Ellen, do you remember when we?
I don't remember exactly. It was they changed the leadership out there, and they weren't ready to have help for a while. And I think they kind of started up again before COVID hit, and then kind of ended it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know Peggy still talks about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.